Good morning. It is a privilege to be here, and I'm excited about sharing some things in the scriptures. If the children want to go to children's church, we have something prepared for you, so you can be dismissed now. And if the rest of you would take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9, we're going to look at an account out of the gospel. This is an interesting account. We see things sometimes once or twice or even three times. This one is four times. This account is in every gospel narrative. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 9. Hopefully you also in your bulletin received an outline. That'll tell you how soon I am to being done, which I know is important. So you can kind of follow along there. So Luke chapter 9 verses 10 to 17. Let me read for us. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves into a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowds away, so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only five loaves and bread and two fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And the disciples did so, and everybody sat down. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Here's what's on my heart to share with you this morning from this passage. We are going to walk through it, but we're going to kind of walk through it in an application sort of way. Here's the main idea. When you are overwhelmed with needs, Jesus wants you to give the little you have to him and observe how he takes it and abundantly meets people's needs for his glory. Let me say that again. When you're overwhelmed with needs, Jesus wants you to give the little you have to him and observe how he takes it and abundantly meets people's needs for his glory. What comes to my mind when I read that purpose statement are the needs that I often see, and you're in a providential place in God's plan, and you see things as well. I have my own needs. They don't seem to be major most of the time, but I'm really talking this morning specifically about ministry needs. As you know, I'm a biblical counselor. I've been doing that for about 20 years. It's been such a blessing. But I want to take you into that first meeting with people, just briefly. We have a little sheet we have them fill out. Why are you here? What do you hope to gain from the counseling? What are you looking for? What have you done about it? This last week, a couple. Trust. We don't trust each other. Now, she said that. He just used the word trust and kind of looked to the floor. On his sheet, "How can we help you? What have you done about it?" "Not much. I'm not sure." That's how he filled his sheet out. Her sheet's more in desperation. "We're both recovering addicts. We've relapsed over the last year. He's gone out with some other woman when he was in jail. He found this woman and hooked back up with her when he was in jail." Now, this is not typical, but this is a situation. And what I want you to feel, hopefully with me, hopefully you're praying for us as we counsel, and I want you to sit in that room as people pour out hopelessness about potential suicide, as marriages that have been together for up 10 years are falling apart, and people look at the floor and they have no hope, as believers come in and they struggle and they even know if they're saved, as people unfold stories of family members that are overwhelmed with life, that kids and grandkids are living at home and they're running out of money and they don't know what they're going to do. This is just a little snapshot of the counseling life. But you know what? I think if I followed you around in your work and in the people that you know and in your family, I would hear very similar stories. Because brothers and sisters, this world is full of need. This world is full of broken-hearted, needy people that are running out of money, running out of time, running out of health, running out of emotional stability. And some are just bored. And some are saying, I just don't even know if I want to live any longer. This is the world that we live in. Again, many of you have struggling family and friends. It seems on every turn we see somebody else with a need. And if we engage and listen to people's struggles, it can really become quite overwhelming. So how does our Lord want us to respond? That's what this is about this morning. If you're not a believer this morning, you don't know the Lord, He wants you to respond by getting on your knees and saying, I'm overwhelmed with life and I need a Savior. But I'm talking mainly this morning to the church family and to brothers and sisters. How are we to respond when we're beyond our capacity? My aim is encouragement this morning with the truth that Jesus wants us to see from the gospel, that the very little bit that we have, and He doesn't need that, brothers and sisters, He lets us participate, but the very little bit that we have, that we give to Him, He will take and do amazing things for His glory. So, first point, Jesus wants you to meet needs, and they're everywhere. We'll look at the apostles here for a moment. They've just returned from this ministry. Jesus has empowered them and commissioned them to go out and to preach the good news of the kingdom and to lay hands on the sick and to heal and to cast out demons. And they're coming back to Him and they're rejoicing. John the Baptist, no greater man among men, as was stated, has just been beheaded. If you slow down the gospel, you can hear Jesus' grief in the beheading of John the Baptist. This is someone they knew and they loved, and he's been killed, he's been murdered. Jesus came to this earth to preach, to proclaim the truth, to lay hands, to set people free. He came to proclaim the day of the Lord. He became to proclaim the greatness of our God, the loving kindness of a God in heaven. And at this point in His life, the Lord God Almighty was displaying this in His ministry, and He also directed Christ to look at His 12 and empower them to do the same, and they were in this ministry of training and teaching and healing, and they had been working to the point, you'll read later, where they didn't even have time to stop and eat. And today, brothers and sisters, the Lord continues to bring us opportunities, every one of us, to minister to people in the area of practical needs and in difficulty and in pain, and it just keeps coming, and there's more. Much like the apostles, we've been sent into a needy world to serve. This is God's design. It seems like it's all difficult and hard and such a drag. I mean, everywhere you look, somebody's got their hand out, somebody's suffering, somebody needs something. This is where God has placed us. There's no mistake here. This is the environment to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And the Lord wants each of us to work diligently to find needs and to meet needs in people's lives, to point to the greatness of who He is, not to ourselves. He wants us to take the basket off. He wants us to shine the light. We're going to hear about that from our pastor when he returns, I think, and talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. People have financial needs, physical needs, emotional needs, certainly a need to be reconciled with God Almighty as sinners. And if we're Jesus' disciple, Jesus has commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and disciple and teach and love people and meet needs. So that leads us to point two. You're going to get tired. Jesus got tired. You're going to get weary and you're going to need some rest. Look at verse 10. Then he took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. The apostles were rejoicing in this evidence of the Lord's work. He was doing these mighty things through them, but they were tired and they were hungry and they were even grieving the passing of John the Baptist. And Jesus said, it's time to go home. Now, some of these apostles were from this Bethsaida area, and it's time to go home and get some rest and get some R&R here and get some encouragement. And so Jesus said in another gospel account, come and get in the boat, we're going to go there. So Jesus took the disciples, headed to this remote place, and the crowd saw it. The needy crowds, people that just want. They have so much they need, and they saw where they were going, these miracle workers, these people that could meet needs, and they ran. Mark's gospel says they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. They took off across the lake. They took off around the lake and said, we're going to get there first because we want to be first in line. We need some more stuff. We need some more help. I want you to not just picture this, but I want you to feel it. And I hope you feel it today. I know some of you work hard for the Lord and in the Lord and in the Lord's power, but you are weary and you are tired and you have family members and you have stuff all around you and it burdens you down. And Jesus and his disciples, they've been doing this work and preaching incessantly and they haven't had time to even get something to eat. And their friend has been killed and murdered, and Jesus feels the need for them to go somewhere and get some rest and come apart. And they get over there, and there's crowds waiting for them for more. They want more. There are times that you give, and then you give some more. And then people want more, and you continue to give. And pretty soon you're exhausted. That's just fact. Let's be real today. Let's not have this pious, oh, God's, you know. We get tired. Pastors get tired. Workers get tired. Mothers get tired. They love the little ones. They get tired. They're up all night. As the disciples of Jesus, he's given us a mission to go into the world to preach the gospel, to take love and care and compassion to a needy world. And it begins, of course, loving our own church family. That in itself is a task. We are a family. We love one another. But the fact is, John says, if you just love in word, that's no love at all. It takes work. It takes meals. It takes time. It takes phone calls. It takes cards. It takes attention. And this is a good thing. Then we have our families, and we have the families of our families that need some help. And we work hard to fulfill this calling, certainly not perfectly, but if you know the Lord, you have a heart and a love for people. We love Him and we love people and we try and we see even more needs. That's the reward we get. You work hard, you get more everywhere. And at times you're going to feel this need for a break and a rest. And the scripture recognizes that. Jesus recognizes this. Now, this is an amazing thing. The sovereign Son of God says, I intend to take my apostles away and rest. But there's a change of plans. It's a good thing to rest. It's a good thing to get away when you can. There's no negativity about that. But there's a change of plans in this passage. On this day, they got outwitted. The people beat them. They went around the lake. And here's what I want you to see, how our Savior responded. This is going to be one of the heights of this message. When we see the response of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's worn out, grieving, hungry, tired, and people want more from him. Here's how he responds. Verse 11, Luke 9. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. The word welcome is an interesting Greek word. It means to receive kindly or hospitably. Matthew's gospel says this way, he saw a crowd and had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Mark tells us that Jesus' compassion welled up because he said they were like a sheep with no shepherd, going around, lost, needy. Jesus' intention was to take his apostles, to get away from the crowds, to get some food, get some rest, some recharge. But as the boat landed, he saw the crowds and his heart welled up and he was moved within himself. And he saw their need and he saw their desperation and his compassion moved him to love them and to move to continue to minister. Now let's kind of marinate in this for a minute. I want gratitude to rise in our hearts right now, to be thankful that we have a Savior that cares. How wonderful and beautiful is the Lord Jesus Christ towards needy sinners like us. We're the crowd. We're the presumptuous people that never give him a break in a sense. Not that he needs it, but brothers and sisters, we go our own way. We do our own thing. We ignore him. And then we come back and we want more and we need more and we're a needy people. And aren't you glad we have a Savior that loves needy, presumptuous sinners like ourselves? He sees our desperate need and he meets it. And you know what? He just doesn't skip a few meals for us or cook a little thing here or works a little overtime to kind of take care of us. He comes to this earth and he's spit upon and he's despised and then he hangs on a Roman cross and takes the punishment and the wrath of God in our behalf as he suffers for our sins. This is our Savior. So that we can be set free and rescued and be reconciled to our God for the purpose of bringing the ultimate glory to him. This is challenging to me. As I read this, I'm challenged to pray that God would give me a heart like Jesus, because it's not like Jesus. It's more like the disciples, and the fact that while people were his enemies, he gave himself completely to them while they were still sinners. And he calls us. The love of Christ compels us to do the same. As we face endless lines of needy people and we're not sure we can keep going and we're tired, we need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and not grow weary in well-doing, as the Apostle Paul said. We need to continue, brothers and sisters, to push on and persevere in the power of the Spirit and with the help of the Lord. Third point. Now we're going to take an inventory on what we have to offer to meet all these needs. You will feel that you have very little compared with the needs that you see. This is what's going to happen when you sit down and say, okay, I'm in. Now we need to take an inventory. How can I help? Verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we're in a remote place. He replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd, about 5,000 men were there. That's about 20,000 people, by the way. Late in the day, disciples are tired. 20,000 people, hungry people, in a remote place. What are we supposed to do? The disciples had an answer. Send them away. That's my answer. Let them take care of themselves. That's what we need to do. When we see people with needs, we need to direct them to where they can go do something, take care of themselves. I mean, this is America. You need to take care of yourself. You know, I have to take care of me. You have to take care of you. That's good old independent. Let's do it. Do you relate? Yeah. Jesus, let's just turn off the phone, go on retreat, let everybody take care of themselves. This is my struggle. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is when it happens, brothers and sisters. This is the trial and the test. When it's late, when you're tired, when there's overwhelm, you just want to send people away. I relate. The apostles related. Jesus said, you feed them. In fact, he asked Philip over in John, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He even says, where are we going to shop, Philip? Seriously? Jesus asks the strangest questions, doesn't he? We got 20,000 people here, and we're going to go shopping. It's late, and we're in a remote place. You feed them, Philip. What do you got? I hope you get a little bit of the humor of this. So the apostles get the calculator out. It's Philip again. He pulls out the calculator and he assesses the situation. What would it take to feed this many people? Well, 8 months' wages is what it would cost to get everybody about one bite in their mouth, which is not near enough. Jesus, don't you see the obvious here? I mean, I know you said feed them, and what? We don't have enough. Maybe you're there right now. Don't have enough. Don't have enough to do this thing Jesus wants me to do. You ever feel like the Lord puts you in a situation where you don't have it? All the time. We just don't recognize it until it gets big. We really don't even have it for the small stuff, but a little bit of ego and pride says we do. But the truth is, we get overwhelmed. We see all this. So Jesus asks another question. The great questioner, he says, what do you have? What do you have? Andrew speaks up this time. We have a boy. He has a small lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but how far is that going to go with 20,000 people to feed? He's probably thinking, it's probably not even worth mentioning. We got this little tiny lunch over here. We have a little bit, almost nothing in comparison with what's needed. Feel it? Feel it? We've looked at the situation. We see the needs of those around us. Just too little to take care of, too many people to take care of. It's over our heads. You're tired. You wish these people just go away, take care of themselves. Jesus is telling you, you need to feed them. You have next to nothing. What are you supposed to do? Too many people, too much need, too many problems, too much drama, too little food, too little money, too little energy, too not enough help. And what does Jesus do? He welcomes them. He says to them, I'll teach you, I'll heal you, I'll take care of you. I'll bind your wounds, I'll fill your bellies, I'll meet your needs. And then he turns to his disciples and says, and you're going to do that with me. And so we look at what we have and we say, I don't have anything. I have so little. This is a burden in my heart. There are people sitting here in these chairs in our church, members of our church, that say all the time, I have so little. Well, you're accurate. But it's almost to the point, I have so little to give, why would I even try? It just doesn't mean anything. That is not biblical. God has perfectly equipped each of you with everything you need to do exactly what he wants you to do. And this is where it starts to get exciting again, because we're going to see what does Jesus want us to do with this little bit that we have. Point number four. Jesus wants you to give him the little that you have and watch how he takes it and abundantly meets needs for his glory. And he often does it through you. Listen to verse 14, the second part of verse 14. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And the disciples did so, and everybody sat down, taking the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate, and they were satisfied, and the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Wow, what a change. So what do you do when you're tired and you're overwhelmed and surrounded by needy people? Here's what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to take the very little bit that you have and give it to him. He always has a plan. He's sovereign. He doesn't lack anything. He'll take care of everyone the way he wants to take care of them. He'll meet all the needs as he sees fit. He's sufficient. We're not sufficient. He's control. He's in control. He sovereignly orchestrates solutions for his glory and his honor. The grace and the blessing, my friends, is that he includes us in the process. Needy, deficient sinners that have so little to offer. And he gives us the blessing of giving and participating in counseling broken people and being able to witness as the Holy Spirit changes hearts and changes minds and redeems and saves and turns people's lives around. And he lets us have a little part in it. Not that we're needed, not that we're important, but he blesses us by saying, I give you little fish and I give you little loaves so you can give it back to me and watch what I can do. It's our blessing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a bigger blessing in this. He took the little bit, and with thanksgiving and gratitude, he blessed it, and he fed 20,000 people that day, and there was plenty left over for future deeds. That's what our God does. That's what our Christ does. That's what this wonderful Savior does. Even the extras by his design. He has it all precisely measured and counted exactly as he would want it. He had his plan. He set them down, 50s, 100s. So, a few questions come to me from this passage. Some additional things to think about that I think will bring this a little more alive as we start to bring this together. Got some questions. First questions. Good question you can ask in your Bible study whenever you're seeking the Lord and the Word of God, especially when you're reading the Gospels. What do we learn about Jesus from this passage? What do we learn about him? First thing I see is that he's sovereign and that he's sufficient. Never taken off guard. Knows exactly what he's going to do. Now, he struggled in the garden. He had to seek the Father's will. There's a mystery here, 100% man, 100% God. He got tired. He grieved. He cried. He cried at the tomb of Lazarus, well knowing that he was going to raise him from the dead, yet in his humanness and in his humanness, his compassion in his heart, we don't have a high priest that's way off here. But we see this sovereign one that is competent and complete. This is our Savior. Second, I think this we learn about Jesus in this story is his immense compassion. and love for lost people. And their and he sees their lostness and their needs. And he even said later on, you people don't want to follow me. You just want your bellies filled. I mean, he was a realist. He knew these people weren't, and they wanted the stuff, okay? A lot of them. 10 lepers. One says thank you. I mean, that's people, okay? That's not what drives him. Well, will we take care of these people if they appreciated it? Is that Jesus? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This is the heart of our Savior. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray. Holy Spirit, change my heart to be like Jesus. That I don't give things to people and help people because maybe they're going to appreciate it. Or maybe they'll say thank you. Or maybe they'll send me a little card. Or maybe they'll at least smile. No, sometimes they'll spit on you, hate you, and kill you, and gossip about you, and put bad Facebook posts up about you because, you know, you didn't do it their way. Is that okay? Is that okay? That's not only okay, that's what we're called to. He says the leap when that happens. Rejoice. You're identified perfectly with your Savior now. You serve people and you get mistreated. That's the goal, in a sense. That's our graduation day. John got his head taken off. This is a different paradigm, isn't it? This is a whole different, this isn't. I pray for the care and the compassion and the empathy of my Savior. It's beyond myself. I need this. That's what I learned. And he always knows what he's doing. That's the third thing. I just love to watch Jesus and listen to Jesus and look at him in the Gospels and see how in every moment he takes a step and he knows exactly what he asks, the right question. He is so in control. It's just something to behold. Second question, what do we learn about ourselves? What do we learn about us as people? I think we learn we're limited. I think we learn that we're tired. I think we learn that we want it our way and we don't want to mess with all this stuff. I think we learn that we have a heart, though we're saved, we have this battle going on with this residue of flesh that wants to have things its own way, and I don't want to be bothered with people's needs. I really buck it up and I'm ready and I'm saying, okay, Lord, then I look at my resources. Well, I don't hardly have anything. Now, that's crazy. We all have so much compared to the rest of the world. We won't go down that path this morning, but I'm saying you're in your world and you see your bills and you see your time and you see your work and you see how much energy you have and you see your health problems and you say, I just don't have it. That's exactly right. You have about 5 loaves and 2 fishes and 20,000 people to feed. That is the situation. We need to humble ourselves and see that we are poor and needy and deficient. We are not the sufficient one. And that's exactly why Jesus asked those questions. And so I see that I'm limited and I have limited resources, and that's true. Now, the complementary thing I see is even though we're limited, the Lord wants to use us. And what we have, the little bit we have, he wants to use us in the little bit we have. That doesn't make sense. Why would he want to use somebody that has so little to give? I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with he wants the glory. Maybe it has something to do with the fact he chooses the weak things to confound the wise. Maybe the fact he takes poor people and people that don't have it all together so he can show how great he is. Maybe that's why there's not many wise, not many noble chosen. He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Maybe that's the Lord God of the Bible. And so if you're foolish and don't have it together and don't have very much and you feel struggling and overwhelmed, you qualify. Qualified. You got the job. Even though we're limited, the Lord wants to use us. Third, what do we learn about ministry? What do we learn about kingdom ministry from this passage? What we learn is if Christ commissions us and sends us, he supplies. He'll give us everything we need according to his riches and glory to supply and to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. We need to quit looking to ourselves, and we need to start looking more to him. Now, I know we all do this at some level. I'm not preaching to people that don't know the Lord and don't do this. But I'm encouraging you to do more of it. And when you've got a struggling brother or sister, to remind them of these things. This is it. Jesus will supply everything we need completely, sufficiently, and even more than we could ask or think for to do what he's called us to do. Second, we learn that Christ uses weak, limited followers to do his work, his amazing work, and build his kingdom. This is the most significant work in history, the preaching and proclamation of the gospel and the kingdom. And it comes in the context of meeting needs, because needy people are around us everywhere. And that's who Jesus uses. That's who God ordains. So, there are three questions. What do we learn about Jesus? What do we learn about ourselves? And what do we learn about ministry? Finally, my final question. As you pray, as you seek the Lord, what do you see in terms of needs around you? Are you afraid to look sometimes? Are you a little bit of denial? Like, if I really got honest about the needs, it would just be overwhelming. 20,000 people, few loaves and fish, yeah. That's right where we are. When we look at our church at times as a board and we see the influx and the outflow, not just of money, but of people and resources, it can get a bit overwhelming and scary if you do the math. And then God shows up and feeds 20,000. Most of you know our finances this year are as healthy as they've ever been, and our numbers are not in terms of numbers of individuals, because God seems to bring people here and send them. And he doesn't want us looking at ourselves. He wants us to continue to look to him. And then he amazes us at what he does. Why? Because he loves us? Absolutely. But he loves his glory, even more importantly. And he loves his kingdom, and he has a purpose. Maybe you look at yourself and what you see is somebody who doesn't get what I'm talking about. You say, I don't get this, Dave. Maybe you need the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. If you've got questions about that, that's our greatest joy and delight, to talk to people about their need for Christ and to be reconciled to God. That's why we're here. That's why the Lord's left us here, is to call people to that repentance and that faith. So, you've got something moving in your heart about that and questions, find someone here. If you don't know someone here, talk to me. I get the great joy often of sitting and leading people to understand what it's all about. It's not because I know. I've got the book. It's not. I don't know what it's all about. The Lord knows what it's all about. He's given us this revelation. So that's where we are. When you're overwhelmed with needs, Jesus wants you to give the little you have to him and observe how he will take it and abundantly meet people's needs for his glory. That's what I want you to see this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I want to confess before you my sins. I often look at needs and people and I run. I hide out. Because I look at my own insufficiency and my own lack and my own strength, and I just get fearful. I ask on my behalf and on the behalf of my brothers and sisters here that you forgive us for that. Forgive us for looking to our own adequacy and our own selves, Lord. Help us to turn our eyes back to you and see that we have this wonderful and beautiful calling and this blessing that we've not fully realized of service, of giving. And that if we'll take the little bit that you give us and give it to you, you'll take it and do amazing things. Help us to get that today, Father. And help us not just to appreciate what we've heard and understand it, but to put it into action. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, the beautiful Christ. Amen.